Welcome to Happy Horror Time Podcast. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I am Matt Emmert. Happy. I thought you were going to say a happy birthday.
To myself.
Speaking of, somebody's birthday is coming up in just like a few days, a little over a week.
Officially middle aged. Yay.
I remember we talked about this and I was like, middle age for me is just 40, not 45, Tim's going to be.
40s, you're practically like at your lockers, like in high school.
Everybody has to wish Tim a happy birthday on April 19th.
Yep, I'll be 45 and I'm alive.
45 and alive, but you don't look a day over, what, Tim?
Five.
Do you think you could go to like a college campus and be seen like, as one of like the professors?
Oh my God, what if I just walked into the school and was just like, I'm a student?
They'd be like, at the retirement home?
Well, in colleges, anybody can take classes. If I knocked out my grays and maybe got a little Botox.
A little?
Bitch.
that was horrible. That was a disgusting burp. We are not those types of people.
You know what? There may be something about Pam, but maybe there's something about Tim.
Oh, yes. If you're watching, there is a show on NBC right now called The Truth About Pam
There's something about Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, with Renee Zellweger. It is like, it's a weird, dark comedy murder, like, just crazy plot.
I'm enjoying it, but it shouldn't be a Blum. I mean, it's a Blumhouse show, but on NBC?
They can't show nothing on the NBC. Very weird. But you know what I want to tell people, Tim? What are we doing for your birthday? Care of yours truly.
Matt's idea was Vegas, baby. I actually hate when people say Vegas, baby.
Oh, you mean, or like, what happens in Vegas?
No, that I live by.
We are going to Vegas. After this episode ends, it'll be the weekend after this to celebrate Tim's birthday a little bit early because it is a milestone.
Right, and I guess, and you don't go 1 hour without saying happy birthday to me.
Not 1 hour because, you know, 45 is a milestone. It has a five.
Yeah, I mean, it has a five in it or a zero, so, you know.
Yeah, so we're going to Vegas and we are going to party it up.
That's right, in bed by 11. Woo!
And by party it up, we're going to have at least one drink. At least
I
stay up till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And be waking up at 8 a.m.
for a workout.
Just kidding. No, it's going to be fun. I haven't been to Vegas since 2018.
I think that's the same for me, too. But did I go to Vegas sometime between 2018 and 2020?
I don't know what for. So we used to, for the listeners, I think we've talked about this before, that we used to be part of a gay kickball league, and there was a annual tournament in Vegas in January, and we went a number of years. So it was fun because you'd go, and there'd be tons of like gay athletes from all over the country that would go for it. So you'd go. It was almost like a big pride celebration.
Was it fun, though?
The kickball part wasn't so fun. The Vegas part was fun.
That's true. And you know, I think I did go to Vegas. I think I surprised my mom for her birthday.
Oh.
Right?
Yes, Tim, Darlene and Jim are big Vegas
fans. They love it.
They're like the types of people who get free rooms and
everything free.
Mr. and Mrs. Murdoch, we got a free buffet. No more buffets. We got a free, what is everything? That's the thing. This will be our first time in Vegas post-pandemic.
I think they're all maskless. I think it's good.
But they don't have, do they have buffets anymore?
I don't know. I think buffets are just too much for anyone.
Well, and for everyone, I have a surprise plan for Tim, which we will talk about after, because I can't tell Tim before, but we will talk about after we go, and we'll have to tell people.
Do I need
ones
for the stripper?
I know. I kept telling Tim, kept saying stripper. I was like, no, I'm not hiring a stripper because
that for when I get married.
It's such a like hit or miss thing because if the stripper is like creepy or gross, it's and you're stuck with that one person, and like it's just creepy. No strippers. It'll just be a fun activity.
A party where they showed me a picture of the stripper that they hired, but when they showed up, it was a completely different person.
Do you want to hear something crazy that's gonna really date me?
Yeah, rock my world.
My 20th. Birthday. This is when I was not out. I don't even think I knew that I was a little guy. I was so in the closet and repressed. Whatever. Anyway, one of my still closest friends to this day, my friend Kate, threw me a surprise party and they got me two female strippers.
Oh my God. Yep. That is scarier than anything we're going to talk about today.
I know. And it is really funny because I think back and I came out when I was 22. So 20 was not that far away, but like I had two strippers.
Oh my God, were they like bumping and grinding on you?
Yes, and there was like an incident with a Tootsie Pop that I'm not proud of, where she stuck it, just use your imagination, and then put it in my mouth.
You know what? I'm not going to imagine that, and I actually feel really bad that I'm really sorry that happened to you.
I mean, then a year and a half later, I was gay.
You were like, bow, chicka, wow, wow, gay.
No, it is really funny because the whole thing of like hiring strippers, I feel like it's what so awkward for the person. Well, because like, especially that, but a lot of times, especially I think female strippers come with like, a bodyguard or something.
Yes. I was at a girl's birthday party where they hired a stripper and I was the only guy there. And the guy that was there was like really looking at me. I was like, listen, I am not even going to go near.
Wait, it was a male stripper?
It was a woman stripper. No. Oh. Wait.
You said you were the only guy there. Oh, yeah,
Wait, was it? I cannot remember if the stripper was male or female. I cannot remember.
But you were the only guy there. So unless you with a lot of lesbians.
Maybe was I at a lesbian party? I cannot remember. But anyway, the bodyguard was really looking at me since I was the only guy.
Does this make sense? If he was looking at you, it sounds like it'd be a female stripper, but if you were the only guy
stripper? I think I was at a lesbian birthday party.
Okay.
So they had a woman stripper, but still the bodyguard was looking at me since I was male.
Maybe they thought you were a straight man, which I think is hilarious because
I opened my mouth.
Look, how many people have thought you were straight in your life? Be honest.
Two.
You're like the blind one and the deaf one. No,
you know
that
what?
Is
that is horrible.
That is horrible. I am not trying to femme shame. Is that
no? Oh, I've been femme shamed all my life.
Oh, Tim, don't say that.
It's
be
the
you.
Truth.
Be you.
No, I obviously I don't care. I'm gonna be me.
Yes, be me. And you know what? It's important to be you. However, mask femme. Or whatever you are.
Well, I know, you know, the thing from the past is on dating profiles, they'd always say, like, no femme acting.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember, like, people saying horrible things on dating profiles.
Straight acting only.
I remember straight acting, it's such a horrible way of saying, like, masculine, like, straight acting, like, so you're pretending to be, I don't know, I don't want to get deep into that, but the truth is, when I was first coming out, I used all those really, like...
You did, you said like, straight acting only?
I never said that to about what I was looking for, but I remember, like, in my early 20s, I would use it to describe myself, because I thought that was, like, the right way to describe it.
You described yourself as straight acting?
Don't you laugh. When I was first coming out, I would say, straight acting guy, looking for... And I just, now thinking back...
Now that's horrible.
It makes me cringe.
Well, you know what? It was 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago, and also, I was just so ignorant.
Well, we all were. Society was ignorant.
Yeah, and everything, like, everyone needs to be who they are and not be afraid of it.
Right,
look at this.
Like, I'm a bookworm. I like to go to the library and read books.
If you tuned in to hear us talk about horror movies, you're in the wrong place. Instead, we're going to give you an uplifting, motivational talk about being
who
yourself. You are.
Be yourself. Okay, let's get started.
Enough of that. So we've got a great episode today because we just happened to, just like our last movie review episode, just happened to have two movies that had like X-rated-ish sex type content in it. We found two new horror movies that both had to do with like mommy issues.
Yeah, that's like, interesting. And I saw them back to back.
So random that both movies have to do with mothers or mom-related content. And the first one we're going to talk about is
called... Because there's nothing scarier than your mother.
Yes. Hello, Norman Bates, Mrs. Bates.
That's right.
The first movie we are talking about today is Oma.
I thought it was Uma as in Thurman.
I think there were very... So all the times I heard it said in the movie, it's like different every time. It was either Uma or Umma or Umma or Uma or whatever. It's spelled U-M-M-A, so not to be confused with Uma Thurman. It's U-M-M-A. Right.
Kill Bill.
Exactly. She's U-M-A. So right away, I was excited about this movie because it stars Sandra Oh.
I was excited about when I saw the running time, an hour and 20 minutes.
Sandra Oh is a great actress, and like I just didn't know much. It was like a supernatural movie, and I know though one thing that I heard that was really cool is that it was written and it was the wait. Let me get the exact.
It's produced
stat
by
out.
Sam Raimi.
Well, it was produced by Sam Raimi, but it is the first studio horror film written and directed by a Korean American woman.
That's awesome,
and so which I thought that's a really cool thing is Sandra Oh. So that's what I was really excited
about.
Before
we go on further, was she on ER or Grey's Anatomy?
I think Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, because
yes.
I get those
she
medical dramas
Killing,
mixed up.
She's also in Killing Eve.
Right. And I also think she had a small part in the movie Something Candy.
She was in Grey's Anatomy and Killing Eve, and she's in Something Candy.
No,
love
but no,
film.
But isn't the movie something like
Strangers
Candy?
With Candy?
No, not
Candy.
Strangers with Candy. It was just Hard Candy. Was she in a movie called Hard
was
Candy?
Was she?
Yeah, do you remember that movie?
Vaguely. Oh, okay. Wasn't it with now Elliot Page?
Yes.
It
was, yes. And the guy was super cute,
point.
But
now
I can't remember
Elliot.
His name.
Oh, can't remember. But like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Patrick Wilson.
Yes, Patrick Wilson. Oh okay. My God. I do not know if she was in
it. I think
but
she
anyway,
had a tiny, tiny part in that.
So this movie opens. Here's the thing. It was a very weird, like, I was expecting like a big opening scene, and right. Really, it was like, obviously, it's her as a kid with her mother, and she's Korean, and they're speaking Korean, and I guess she's, like, locked in a closet, right?
And yes, there were flashbacks immediately. And first off, we have to tell everyone, we saw this at the movie theater.
Yeah, it's
like,
playing.
I mean, like,
it's only playing at the movie theater.
It's playing on a big screen, so the subject matter, I mean, like, I don't know if it merits big screen treatment.
It did almost feel like an on-demand type of movie, but, like, it's a studio release and it stars Sandra Oh. So, you know, who knows? Nowadays, I don't even know what constitutes, like, big screen versus on-demand.
Anything
on
Marvel.
Like,
and that's it. And that's all I want to see.
It is crazy. So many movies now come out at the same time. And then there's this big movies that still have same-day releases on streaming service, like Halloween Kills on Peacock.
That was a
you know?
Fluke. That's a pandemic fluke.
There's such weird things. But anyway, so, yeah, there's obviously some like flashbacks of a young Korean girl being basically like abused by her mother with electricity, like
right.
Being shocked
so
with
then,
an electric wire.
Yes, and then cut to Sandra Oh then
throwing away a lamp and just looking angry, and then it says 16 years later.
Right, so now she and her daughter, who's played by Fivel?
Probably Fievel Stewart, which I love the name Fievel because it was the mouse in An American Tale.
Right, and originally her name was Trent, which I found a very interesting fact.
Oh, that's a...
Trent.
And well, I real quick about the opening, it was just very abrupt. Like,
very abrupt. It was no Scream opening.
That's the thing. The flashback was, you know, you're hearing a lot of dialogue, you're not seeing much, and then it's just Sandra Oh angry, like putting a lamp in like a garage, and that's it.
But in the garage, there's also a lot of other like electrical things, right?
Yeah, like, and again, now after seeing it, you're trying to set it up that she obviously has a major aversion or trauma based with electricity,
right, like
which
no
I will say I've never seen that before.
No, but actually, that right there is an interesting aspect altogether, just to like live off the grid and yeah. Live with no electronics.
Well, it switches to 16 years later, and she's living with her daughter, like completely in the middle of nowhere, and they're beekeepers. They're like harvesting.
They make honey.
Yeah, they have hives. They harvest the bees and do the honey, and it's her and her daughter, and they live completely without electricity. I'm talking lanterns. Like every time they need something, she sends her daughter on her bike to go to the store and get the things. And then there is, talk about a random occurrence of an actor in this movie, Dermot Mulroney.
Yes, who you might remember from My Best Friend's Wedding.
And he is significantly older than he was in My Best Friend's
Wedding.
Well,
that's true, but I still found him sexy. And you know, if he wanted to ask me out, I'd say yes.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
That's so nice of
I
you.
Know. I mean, he'd be
You'd
too
be
lucky.
You'd be doing him a favor.
I you would. You if would. He turned gay and left his family.
Well, the funny thing is that Dermot Mulroney is like...
The only contact they come in.
Yet he like comes this. To their farm because she won't even... She's so traumatized of electricity that you can't even drive up the driveway. You have to leave your car and like walk in. Like she doesn't want any sort of...
He puts his cell phone in his glove compartment before he makes any food deliveries.
Yeah. And like he's the one who picks up the honey and sells it. He's like a friend of hers. You find out she used to be his bookkeeping and then got into the bee thing because her daughter was into it. But right away, like if first, I was a little confused as to where, what year this took place because they didn't have any electricity. Yeah. Then when she goes to the store and you see everyone else on their cell phones, you're like, oh, it's just them.
Right. And like, he tries to say to them like, hey, you need to sell your honey online. And he goes, look, you're getting a lot of online orders.
And she doesn't even know what that is. Oh,
she's
there's
what's online? What's viral?
There's a funny joke that he says like, oh, an influencer posted your honey and now it's gone viral. And she's like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. She's like, you're telling me a lot of stuff I don't know.
But so the plot kind of moves forward because an older Korean man comes to see Sandra Oh and is calling her by a name. So her American name is Amanda, and he's calling her by her Korean name. And he basically is like telling her that her mother has passed away.
And he's giving her a suitcase which has like the, what's it called when you keep an urn?
It's like her ashes. It's a ceremonial robe
and a mask,
and like a mask that has to do with the culture. And the truth is like, I don't even want to attempt to try to describe the cultural things correctly because I'm gonna fuck it up. So I just want to apologize beforehand.
I think it's like, do you remember the Friday 13th TV series? It's like a cursed items. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah, but they have culture. I think they have real cultural significance.
No, I mean, I obviously did zero research.
Should have studied all of Korean culture.
I was going to do Korean superstitions, but then I started
took that
watching
class at our local community college.
I started watching Renee Zellweger's show. There's something about Pam.
No, it's not. There's something about Pam.
There's something about Mary Pam.
There's something about Pam. The sequel to There's Something
right,
About
right,
Mary.
Right.
Yeah. You can tell she's been estranged from her mother. The uncle saying, like, you just left us. And basically, you can infer from this.
He's like, you're off the grid. How am I supposed to find you?
Yeah, you can infer from this that she has nothing to do with her family. She is just, like, given up all of her Korean heritage. She hasn't taught her daughter anything related to this culture.
Her daughter is really... I feel bad for the daughter because she knows nothing about her mother.
And you notice they didn't even talk about who the father was. Like,
who was the father?
We don't know who the father was, and they don't... Maybe it was a one-night stand. Who knows?
Was it mentioned in the movie at all?
Not at all, no. It's
because
she's a single mother.
I was watching it.
And but like, so the uncle leaves all of these like things there, even though Sandra Oh did not ask for them, and she obviously hated her mother.
Yeah.
But as soon as like he leaves these artifacts there, then suddenly the movie starts to have all these like traditional supernatural like jump scare moments.
Which I could have done without, because now it's just a series of Sandra Oh maybe seeing things, maybe not seeing things.
It's very weird because the entire plot of this movie, the spirit of the mother kind of haunting her, I was never scared, because even if you're estranged from your mother's not really trying to kill you.
Right.
Like, I mean, like you find out like throughout the movie that yes, the mother, well, there's actually a full backstory.
The mother's being haunted.
Well, you mean the mother's haunting her.
Right. The mother's haunting Sandra Oh.
Yes. Yeah. But you find out that Sandra Oh's mother and father moved to America, and I guess her mother was kind of left on her own, didn't know English, and had a really tough time.
She roughed up her daughter.
Yes, and she was left by her husband, and so she took out like all her anger, depression stuff on her daughter by abusing her with electricity, which is totally normal reaction.
Right, I really didn't see any problem with this.
No problem. I mean, just shock her a few times,
right? So it leads to her living completely off the grid and with bees all day.
But the thing is, her daughter, though, Sandra Oh's daughter, named Chrissy, is
gorgeous,
is beautiful girl, like
beautiful.
And she you can tell that she's interested in maybe
she's
like,
itching to get off that damn farm.
She wants to apply to college. She like meets some people. You can tell the people in town think she's weird.
Is it Dermot Mulroney's niece?
Yes, Dermot Mulroney's niece. She makes friends with her. The niece wants to like get her into town, like basically try to get her to be a little more normal. But this whole time, like Sandra Oh obviously doesn't want her daughter leaving attached her.
The daughter asked Dermot Mulroney for like what's it called to get into college?
I was saying, yeah, the college application. Yes. And she you can tell Sandra is not happy that she's gonna apply to college, but it's
so
just,
she has to fill it out on a typewriter.
I know, seeing her, because they don't have a computer because they can't have electricity, she's using a typewriter for it in 2022.
That was the saddest part of the movie.
Well, and if you're wondering, wait, are you guys describing a horror movie right now? You're right, because this felt like a drama, like a family drama.
Like, I think
supernatural scares.
Yeah, like obviously Sandra Oh's having issues with her dead mother, and that's scary within itself. But I think what's even more scary is that the mom and daughter don't come in contact with anybody else.
And they have obviously a really messed up relationship where I think the daughter feels like she has to stay there with her mom. And she has been conditioned to think that her mom... it's not just as trauma related to electricity, actually gets physically ill around electricity, which is not true. And as the story like unfolds, there are some sort of scary elements. I will say the movie really depends on CGI, like, and like it really
jump scares.
Yeah, jump scares, CGI's up, like the old Korean mother, they make her look like zombified in some scenes and scary.
White, she has the Sandra Oh's mom has like white hair and this outfit that's kind of freaky. And then like obviously Sandra Oh's character is becoming the mother, which then she kind of takes it out on her daughter. And I think the best scene in the movie is when they have their final, like not final confrontation, but they have the like the dialogue between each other.
There's a big scene when the daughter comes home and obviously, Sandra Oh has been like possessed by the spirit of
so
her
the
mother
daughter,
because
rightfully so needs answers.
Well, and she is we're going all over the place here, which is fine. But like the Sandra Oh is possessed by the spirit. And now she's wearing like the robe and the mask. And she almost looks like the mother, like she's almost like morphing into her. And
the daughter's like, you need to tell me what the F is going on.
Like, you know, finally she gets some of the story, but there's a big confrontation between them when Sandra Oh's possessed, where they slap each other.
Well, yeah, the mom, Sandra Oh slaps her daughter, and the daughter slaps her right back because, yeah, like,
and
all
calls
truths,
her a psycho bitch.
Yeah, she's like, all truths were coming out. And I thought this was a very soapy, good scene. I liked this
but
scene
was it
the best.
Horror? That's the thing. Like, it wasn't.
Not
the,
really.
The whole movie felt like a very just like soap opera drama about just like family trauma. It really did feel like that. Like it felt like they threw in all these little supernatural elements as like an
just
add-on.
To sell it.
Yeah, like an add-on. Like I don't feel like this was meant to be a horror movie. I feel like
it was about a teenage girl trying to figure out why her mom is still dealing with the past.
Well, and I think it also has to do with like her mom bringing the issues of her background into her relationship with her daughter. Like it could have been a straight drama. It Absolutely. Could have had all the cultural significance it had, but like the supernatural parts, it almost cheapened it in a way.
Yeah,
like,
it was, and
it
it's
felt
like
cheesy.
All the supernatural scenes are like scenes as viewers as we are. We've seen this before.
It is, and it wasn't really inventive. Like it wasn't really new, but it's like, there's, you know, in the big, I guess, finale, it's like the Sandra Oh gets like pulled down into the, I guess it's like the grave of the mother, but it's like it's not a real, it's like a made up zone where she has to confront her mother's spirit. And then they have this like emotional talk where the mother's like, you left me. And she says, I understand you were dealing with a lot coming here from Korea, but like, you shouldn't have taken it on me. Again, so dramatic.
It was very dramatic. Just, and I was like, I don't know what.
I was never scared.
I was never scared. I was trying to figure out the tone of the movie. Like, is this just someone going through grief?
Yes, totally. Like, there was just, even when
trauma.
Even when she was being, like, pulled around the gravesite and haunted, I never felt, like, in danger.
It was PG-13, right?
I don't know.
I guess they
said only one fuck and they didn't really have much that was scary.
Who said fuck?
I think the girl said you're a fucking, the daughter said you're fucking crazy.
Oh,
or
that's
something.
Right. And rightfully yeah. so.
I mean, the thing is that, again, it just felt like the horror elements were tacked on kind
yeah,
of. Yeah,
I almost feel like an entire movie was made and they were like, oh, you know what?
Ooh, we got to make it horror. Yeah, I know.
You know what? Maybe Sam Raimi can get involved.
Hey, get on Sam Raimi, put a few CGI effects in it. Oh, and how about the scene where they see the weird CGI wolf with all of the legs?
That
which
went
was
nowhere.
That looked like a Disney character.
That looks like something I can make on a Snapchat filter.
For people watching, apparently it was like some sort of, it was the wolf that she sees on the scarf of the dead Oma's, and by the way, Oma, you find out, is just the term.
But you know what?
As I was
watching this, it was such a simple story. I was like, these kind of movies don't get big screen treatments. So there was a part of me that was like nostalgic for it, but at the same time, I was also like, when's it over?
I just felt like nothing. Again, I didn't feel scared. There wasn't any danger per se. Not every horror movie has to be terrifying, but you have to feel either dread or you have to feel like someone's in danger. And I never felt.
Someone was in danger. The daughter was she'd be stuck on that farm.
Yes, because the daughter's not going to have any friends. Yeah. But you know, a funny thing is the daughter finally, when she rises up against Sandra Oh, because like Dermot Mulroney's niece brings her cell phone over, just doesn't tell anybody. Yeah. And then she tells her, and then the daughter, Chrissy's like, you can't have your cell herself on her. She's like, I've had it on me for the last few hours and your mom was okay.
I love that they made the Dermot Mulroney's niece, like, because she's been like in society, like she's got earrings and like lipstick and like she's just like,
everything
like,
was so different.
It was like so sassy. And the girl that's like sweet and innocent is the girl that's been on the farm.
Yes, because she hasn't been exposed to any of that. Remember, without the internet, TV, or anything, what would you even know about life?
Like, nothing.
And that, like Tim said, that is probably the most terrifying part of this movie, that the poor daughter hasn't been exposed to anything.
Yeah, I mean, and she also had to fill out her college application on a typewriter.
That is terrifying. I will say the scariest scene was seeing a typewriter in 2022.
Yeah, I was like, get that off the screen.
Get it off.
I'm terrified.
Exactly. But anyway, when it ends, finally, it's like she, I guess because Sandra Oh, like, confronts the spirit of her oma and, like, in a way, like, gets peace with her, and then they bury her ashes, and then it's like it switches to the daughter's finally going off to college. It looks like they have a cell phone, like Sandra Oh can be around electricity again. Like, she, first off,
but how sad is the ending? Like, Sandra Oh just has to be on that
beekeeping
farm all by herself?
Yes, because the daughter's leaving the college, which means like her whole life is ahead of her, but Sandra Oh's like literally by herself. I do think maybe there's a little hope because now maybe she'll venture outside the fucking farm. Maybe she'll turn on a TV.
Maybe binge watch some shows.
Exactly. She'll be like, wow, I've missed out on a lot of TV.
Like,
wait, what's Punky Brewster?
Totally off the subject of everything. I'm taking a hard left.
What?
Do you feel guilty binge watching anything now that the pandemic's coming to an end?
Wow, that is a right turn that I didn't
curious.
See. Do I feel? I don't think I feel guilty binge watching anything. That's what all this TV is out here for.
Okay.
If anything, I feel like I can't keep up with all the content out there. Like, people are always talking about a new show, and I'm like, I barely watched, you know, last 2 months ago's This Is Us episode.
Okay, because I'm just curious about, like, are people still binge-watching now that, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, think about it. People still watch TV. Maybe they're not doing spending as much time.
Right,
as much time Sandra Oh spends with those bees.
Right, making that honey, which has gone viral.
What does that mean?
I don't know, I'll tell you later.
So all in all, like, yeah, what did you think of Oma?
You know what? I had a good night with you out at the movies, you know. I had some popcorn, so...
This sounds like... So
I say it all the time.
No, the original American Idol season's Paula Abdul, since she never wanted to be mean to contestants, whenever they do really badly, she would like be like, your outfit looks great.
I like seeing Sandra Oh. She can carry a movie. I liked seeing Dermot Mulroney on the big screen.
But the movie... Yeah, I've got to agree. I really can't recommend this to people. I thought it was a sleeper, and I mean a sleeper in that
we stayed awake.
Not much. Well, but meaning in that not much happened.
No, I know.
Yeah, I know. Sandra Oh is a great actor.
She was.
She really is. And I thought, I will say this, the daughter, like you said, well, not just beautiful, she was an amazing actor. She really, like, the performances were great.
I don't know if she looks 16. I know that she was born the year I graduated from high school, which really depresses me. She's 25.
Oh.
She was 25 playing 16.
She played it well. She wasn't over the top.
No,
it just like it just didn't it didn't feel like a horror movie. It wasn't that entertaining. I was never scared. And again, it's like I feel bad because I love the things, like I love that they had a movie that had some Korean cultural aspects to it. I love that it was written and directed by a Korean woman, and that they added that like authenticity
again, like,
it to
it. Again, we've seen some stinkers. This is not horrible. It's just for the horror people that we are, it did not bring that
I feel
aspect.
Like for the horror people that anyone is, this isn't going to really
work. I'm trying to be Paula Abdul here.
I know. I just didn't think it worked. I truly didn't think it worked. And I'm just, it's unfortunate. I really think this was meant to be a drama. Like,
yeah, it was. Like, yeah, it was a mother dealing with a mother.
Yeah, well, a multi-generational
mother, mother, mother.
It should be called Mother, 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 May I?
Mother, Mother, May I?
Sleep
not,
with danger.
May I please leave this damn farm?
How about Mother, enough with the bees. I want the fucking internet.
Mother, Mother, can we have the internet to see if we've gone viral?
Hey, it should have been called Umma. Can I not have to use a typewriter? It's 2022.
Right. If I have to fill up my college application on a typewriter, I'm going to kill myself.
I'm going to throw the typewriter at you, and then it's going to be a different type of movie.
That's right. Yeah. Violent.
So I would possibly maybe not make the trip out to the theaters to see Oma.
Unless you like popcorn.
If you like popcorn, microwave some at home.
Oh, wow.
Well, moving on to another movie that we saw in the theater, but is actually available on demand.
Oh,
also,
I didn't know that. Why did we truck our ass out to the theater?
You know what? To be honest, I didn't know when I told you.
No, it's fun. It was a fun night out again.
It was, and we saw. And speaking of other mother issue movies, it's called "You Are Not My Mother."
I actually love this title. You are not my mother.
I know. What I love about the titles, you could know nothing about this movie, and you already know. Oh my God, this has to be about some sort of imposter or something. Like, you already know a little bit about it just because of the title.
Right,
so I
agree. On a side note, if you want to see something funny, Google Zac Efron mother and watch an SNL skit where he goes,
I am your mother.
Yeah. I am your mother.
It was an SNL skit from years ago and it's
Zac
pretty
Efron,
funny. With Fred Armisen, right?
Yeah, Fred Armisen and Zac Efron. It's so funny anyway.
So speaking of another part of the world, this came from Ireland. This was
North Dublin.
Yes, it's an Irish horror movie and another first-time feature film writer and director. Kate Dolan. And one really cool part about this movie is that, so we saw it at, if you don't live in Los Angeles, you don't know, but the Lemley theaters, there's a few of them and they're more artsy movie theaters. They play some big movies and move some more independent
mainly
movies.
Artsy fartsy.
Mainly like elevated horror as
I
Jenna
prefer,
Ortega.
Artsy fartsy.
As Jenna Ortega would say from Scream. Well, so we saw it at a Lemley theater, but out of nowhere, we had no idea, but to come in to introduce the movie, the director was there. Kate Dolan was there. So she introduced the movie and she was talking about how it was just really cool because she was like,
A labor of love.
Yeah, she said it's a labor of love. It was like a low budget horror movie. And it's so funny. Like she set it up like it was going to be some like little thing. And then it's like so beautifully shot. Like I was like, low budget? Well, it doesn't look low budget.
Yeah, no, it looks grand.
Yeah. And so just to set this up, like talk about, these were two very dramatic movies that had to do with mother stuff, because this is like, well, first off, the opening scene.
I'm actually really glad we're talking about this movie now because I had a little trouble understanding it.
Okay. I don't know if I'm the authority on it, but I'll clear up what I can. But the opening scene, right away, it's like this. It's like a baby in a baby carriage in this creepy, dark, like street, and then someone takes it into the forest and puts
a circle of leaves around it, and then
lights it on fire. And right. You hear what you think is the baby screaming. And
you're
like,
"Whoa!" I thought
they
were burning the baby, but they were just the baby was just in the middle of the burning.
It was like, at this time you don't know anything. You just know it's like to get attention. But at the time, I was like, "Wow, are they burning a baby up?" I'm like, "That's ambitious for an opening scene. Let's start right with dead baby." You know what's not, you know what a good horror movie needs? Some dead babies.
Yeah, that always is a sign of like, wow.
Have you heard like the awful dead baby jokes? You haven't, like, there's a whole like brand
no,
of
Matt,
jokes that
I've
are all
class.
Dead babies. Please, bitch. Please. anyway, so then it switches to basically the story involves a teenage girl named Char.
Is it Char or Char?
Char.
Oh, okay. So Char.
Char, short for
Charlene.
Yeah. Was it Charlene?
I don't know.
Maybe it is Char. You could be right. Char.
Oh, I'm always right.
Char. Mm-hmm. Char.
So like she's like, I need to ride to school to her grandma. Her grandma's like, no, my foot's all messed up. Ask your mother. So we automatically know that like there's something wrong with the mother.
Well, I don't know if you explained. You said ask your mother, and so we automatically know. Well,
no,
she looks and
like,
she sees the mom
in bed, like not even remotely. Just,
obviously, the mother is suffering some major depression because she's in a room. It's dark. She's been in bed like all day, and you can tell that the teenage daughter like
she's
doesn't
like,
want to ask her. Yeah, and so which you know, depression is a real thing that
it
hits people, and when it's really really bad, you don't want to get out of bed. So right away, you know that either her mom's suffering from something.
I don't consider myself a depressed person, but during the pandemic, there were some days like, hey, I'm not going anywhere, so I will stay in bed. Yeah. That I'm just relating to the movie from Ireland.
You know what? You just described depression really well.
Thank you.
People during the pandemic shut in their houses. That was everyone, bitch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how are we supposed to relate to this if we're all in our beds?
I've definitely had depressive times. I've never had times where it's so bad where it's like, I mean, very few where
you
just
can't get
out of your
room. But did you get up and
drag your
kids to school?
No, but the mom in this does. What's funny is that she says, okay, I'll get, and she drives her daughter to school, but you can tell she's so mentally messed up and spaced out. She almost hits a horse in the middle of the road.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, because I haven't talked to you since we saw this. was the horse was really there. Like, the mom wasn't seeing
things. Yeah, yeah. But she just wasn't reacting fast to it. And so she, like, almost hits it. And the daughter's like, what is wrong with you?
She's like, I'll walk from now on.
And the
like,
mom then says, I can't do this anymore. And I don't know about you,
that
but...
That's a tough pill to swallow.
I would never want to hear anyone say that. Because at first I thought,
that's
oh my
like
God.
That's saying, you're giving up on life.
I was like, is she going to commit suicide? But the daughter leaves her like that. And I was like, wow.
I'm sure she's fed up.
Well, but fed up. Oh, cool. Fed up. So I'll let your mom do that. But
listen, she's going to be late for school. She's going to tardy.
Well, and then the daughter, her school life is not great because she's obviously.
Everyone at that school's a bitch.
She's bullied. There are other girls that bully her, and they're just not.
The teacher's sweet, but.
But, and you can tell that Char is like a good student, and the girls, of course, don't like them because everyone is jealous and hates a good student. But anyway,
Suzanne, especially, she puts gum right on her paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's the worst, but she comes in later. But anyway, Char goes home, and then the mom, after that weird episode of driving and almost hitting the horse, doesn't return home. And Char and her grandma think she's missing, and they think, oh my God, did she wander off? What happened to her?
So they call in the brother, right?
Yes. So the mom's brother, which is Char's uncle, comes in and they're looking for her. They try to talk to the cops. So, you know, cops don't want to listen unless it's 24 hours.
The movie, listening to the brother talk, and he was kind of cute, it inspired me to want to take a trip.
To Ireland?
Yeah.
Well, I've been to Ireland. And
you
I can
have?
Tell you, yeah, I went in 2004.
Did you go to a gay bar there?
I did, yes, I did.
Did guys hit on you?
That's a weird question. You mean, what,
I mean
like,
Ireland
did
guys.
Did guys hit on me? I don't remember.
Leprechauns.
I don't remember. It was a lot of questions at once. I'll tell you about Ireland, though, and I will say... the Irish people treat foreigners so well.
Oh
like
my God,
they were
I
so
go.
Nice. Everyone wants to have a drink with you at a pub. Like
shots?
I think Americans are seen in some countries as just annoying foreigners.
Right, I can see that. We're
but,
terrible.
Yes, we are. But Irish people were so welcoming. And again, that was 18 years ago. But
Okay, well, did any guy come up to you at the gay bar?
I can't remember, Tim. It was 2004. I can't remember, but
you are
it's
like
a
you're not
area.
Selling it.
It's a beautiful area. Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't know that only gay bars are the reason to go visit.
Well,
places.
I'm talking. I'm saying I had the hots for the brother.
Oh well, I'm sure there would be some many cute Irish boys.
Okay,
for
that's
you.
All I'm looking for. Go on.
Irish guys are great, and the accent is very cute. It's very it grows on you. You know.
Okay, that grew on me during the movie.
Did it make you grow though? Ew.
Nah.
Anyway, so so then. Out of nowhere, the mom just returns.
Right.
You know, like, doesn't
like,
say
like,
where she
hey,
went.
Girl.
Hey, girl, I've been out. Well, quickly, you start noticing that something's a little off about
this
the mom.
This mom is so off.
Well, first, remember, this is the same woman who could barely get out of bed. She starts cooking a big
right,
meal.
Right, and, like, the brother brought home a pumpkin, and she cut up in the pumpkin.
Well, because this what I love about this movie. It
she
takes
starts
place,
cooking.
It takes place right around Halloween, but... And the mom's like wants to dance with Char.
Wait,
she's
are we
dancing.
Jumping to that dance?
Not yet.
Okay.
She's trying to like dance with her. She's all happy. Like there's something obviously off.
It's like manic.
Yes. And first I was like, okay, this isn't that crazy. If she's bipolar, maybe this is like a manic episode. But then
right.
a few
oh,
things
God.
Happen. They get the mom medication and she crushes
like three
up.
Three different kinds of medication.
She crushes up the medication and puts it in her brother's drink
a
to
tea,
poison
yes.
him.
Yes.
And he, like, has to be rushed to the hospital. No one knows. They don't know they did it except the audience,
it's
obviously.
It's lithium, right?
Lithium, yes. Yeah. And, like, you can overdose on that, and especially if you don't take that. And they... And then another scene happens, and that's the
this,
big dance.
Oh, okay,
scene.
Well, before that, though, we should say, like, the daughter, Char, is having trouble just getting to and from school, just walking home, because there's, like, these bullies. Like, all the girls want to beat her up for some reason.
Just because she's different and quiet.
Just a little different. And, like, they're just... I actually was more scared of the bullies than the mother.
Well, what I will say is there's a couple scenes after the mother comes back that, and they're done really well where, like, and it's almost like a dream sequence where there's one sequence where she sees the mom and it looks like the mom is like tied up against a bed with a sheet over her head and she slowly drops the sheet down and then her face it just looks
it's
like X's
like,
for eyes.
Yeah, it looks like a melted face.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah, I actually did get a okay, when I say it was just scared of the bullies, I was also scared of that face.
Yeah, that the face that they put on the mom, this like demonic face, is terrifying.
And they just show it they do it really, really well with like a
flashes,
just a flash. instead of like lingering on it.
It is. And I will say, just to take a step outside, the like gloomy atmosphere of this, and I know, you know, that maybe that's the weather of this area in Ireland, but it just sets the scene of that dreadful feeling.
It's gloomy. Really,
it's gloomy is the word I'm looking for. Yes, exactly. Gloomy, and it fits the tone of this movie. Even the home that they're in, it doesn't feel like it just dark.
Yes, like, I mean, like, dank. I could see someone being depressed.
I mean, like, Jesus Christ, like, the whole house feels depressed. It just feels quiet, and it just, the opposite of comfy, homey, warm, fuzzy
home. Maybe that's why I really, really clung? Yeah. Is that a word? Uh-huh. Clung to the brother, because he was the one bright spot. Like, the teenage daughter was a sad sack, the mother was some kind of crazy thing, and the grandma was, like, a little shady.
So we get to the scene where the mother is, like, she's acting even more like unhinged. And there's a scene where she's like trying to get the daughter Char to dance, and she starts like banging her foot against
we need to go to the dinner really quick. At the dinner, the mother is like, I want to take my daughter just on a day trip. And the brother's like, no, like, you're not going. You just disappeared. Yeah, you just disappeared. Yeah. You're not going anywhere. Does the grandma like agreement?
The grandma just keeps looking at her weird. Yeah, right, but like, nobody wants the mom to take the daughter on a trip.
So like, no one's really saying, there's like an elephant in the room, like, hey, the mom, you're a little off right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, but this scene of when she's putting the music on, wants to dance. It's whoever the actress is actually who played the
fantastic
mom, Carolyn Bracken is her name. Like, she's acting so bizarre.
Oh,
she starts like stomping her feet, like dancing really violently.
It is so violent. And like she's pounding her foot where like breaks like a
and she breaks her own foot on the ground because she's
disturbing.
Pounding it so much. It is disturbing as fuck. And the actress pulls it off so well.
I was genuinely like, this is scary.
Like, to the point that the daughter has to run away from her and close the door,
she runs
remember?
Upstairs, locks. Does she lock the door?
Closes on her because she's so terrified of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I mean, like, the mom was literally crawling up the stairs like The Exorcist style.
So moving on through, she finally, like, the grandma talks to the daughter.
Did we say the scene where the Char is like looking at her in the bathroom and like she's about to barf?
Oh my god, we forgot about that. Yes, she sees her mom in the bathroom,
she's
and
like
it looks
dry
like
dry heaving, and then all of a sudden she just decides to take her hand and shove it down her throat.
She like almost like elbows deep.
Right.
Like,
so this is where
she knows that something is all, like, this is not, something is not human about whoever this woman is that has come back. And the Char ends up having a talk with her grandma, and the grandma, and this is where she gives her a lot of like exposition that apparently it's almost like a changeling type story that she said there's these like demons or whatever that can come and snatch a person, and they put a replacement in while they're holding the person. And she thinks that the mom is like a changeling or whatever, but then she relates it to what happened in the beginning that, and this is what I didn't understand, the baby at the beginning that had the fire around it. Was that a fake, like a demon baby, and they were trying to use the fire to get the... What I didn't get is that...
That was my question
so
to you.
I didn't grasp if they said that it had happened... The grandma was telling Char it's happened before, and they, like, you were snatched as a baby, and then we had to get you back because, like, I guess, like, the changeling version of her, something about fire either gets rid of them or gets the human version back. I don't quite understand if the baby at the beginning was her, because then Char has a burn mark, so obviously she
was
that baby.
And the bullies were going to give her another burn mark.
Yeah, the bullies are like threatening burn. So basically, the grandma is telling her, like, we have to get rid of the mom. This isn't the real mom, and fire's the only thing that, like, does it. Well, then the mom, like, she shuts the door on Char, and you hear the mom and the grandma, like, arguing, and you hear, like, a big scuffle. And the next morning, the grandma's dead.
Right, the grandma does die, but like, she props her up in her chair, but she's dead. It's very psycho.
It is. She's sitting there like gray. She's been dead since the night, and she looks like she's just sitting there dead. And it is another very terrifying visual.
Right. So one of the bullies kind of is letting her guard down and befriending Char.
That's Suzanne, right?
Suzanne.
She finally starts to exactly.
So then Suzanne's father was like, "I don't want you near that girl." Like, so, but she's like, now she's curious, and she's like, "I'm gonna invite you over for dinner." And then while she just steps away and talks to the grandma, I'm rewinding a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's in the kitchen by herself. Suzanne experiences something.
Well, I think that was a vision. There's a little backstory for Suzanne where her mom
was drowned.
And I'm not sure if she, her mom also suffered from mental illness or what, but there's a weird visual where it's a woman who's soaking wet, which I imagine is the spirit of Suzanne's mom,
right,
and like whispers in her ear, get out or
and
something.
And she actually does. She runs out.
She gets up and books it out of there. But we get to the big conclusion happens on Halloween night, which of course I love.
The town has like a big bonfire and like... Their idea, I guess, is to burn the mother?
Well, so apparently, because at this point, I think Char is convinced that this is not, you are not my mother.
You are not my mother.
Her and Suzanne come up with a plan to try to, like, woo the mother to this, like, big bonfire area, and then I guess light her on fire, which here's the thing. Even if I knew this person here wasn't my mom, if it looked just like her, I don't know if I could bring myself to light her on fire.
This whole ending is so crazy because, like, then Char is thrown in there by the bullies inside the bonfire.
And the bullies are about to light Char on fire.
Right, but then all of a sudden, the creepy mom shows up.
They're
going to
Char.
Exactly. The creepy mom shows up, and then the bullies scurry. So now Char is inside the bonfire, like... contraption,
and by this time the mom is morphing into much more of
like a monster.
Like it is not, she's not human anymore. And
she looks
I will say,
like the witches. Remember the movie The Witches?
Yeah. I will say there's one really funny part because it's Halloween night. The mom is going around. Well, the mom's like walking around town, scaring kids, and they just think it's someone dressed up, but really it's a monster.
Right. I mean, what separates her is that she's barefoot and looks really yikes.
Yeah. Well, so she's in the like the bonfire like area and stuff, and then Char is holding up basically a hairspray bottle and a lighter and is gonna light her own mom on fire.
Suzanne threw that in there I'm glad that one of the bullies kind of redeemed themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, of course, which always happens in movies, like even though the mom's almost morphed into this demonic monster, right before she's gonna light her on fire, you see her as the normal mom, and she says, "No, Char, don't." And then Char says, "You are not my mother." I know it's a good titular moment.
But
it took
an hour and 20 minutes to get there.
And lights her on fire, and it's like, you know, then she's like screaming and blah blah blah, and then it kind of switches to, it was very abrupt that like suddenly everything was good, like then, like.
Is there a knock at the door?
No, the grandma's dead, but then there's a knock at the door, and it's like the real human mother is back.
Just shows up.
And like,
was the brother in the room?
The brother was there too. So, and now it's like she's back. They got the human woman back. Now, is she still going to suffer from severe depression? I mean, I don't know if that gets cured.
I mean, if you get burned, hopefully your depression's gone.
Well, no, the monster got burned.
Right. I mean, the monster's burned and gone, so that should be...
So the human should be back. But the thing is, what didn't get summed up is that she still has her mental illness, right? Like, I mean, that's not going to be...
No, I think that will cure you.
That cures you. You know, be getting kidnapped by demon changelings, whatever, is great.
You know what? This movie teaches me, don't have dark secrets in your family.
And don't leave your mom in a field if she says, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Exactly. You know, it was a slow burn. It definitely was.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I totally enjoyed it because I really liked looking at Ireland. I've never been.
Mm-hmm.
I thought...
It was filmed in Wisconsin.
I thought... I was totally invested. I wanted to see the young girl, Char, have a good life. I didn't want her to always be bullied and have such a horrible home life.
There was a lot of stuff I liked about this movie. The only things I really didn't like, I mean, it was a very, very slow burn, and I feel like I was a little bit confused as to some of the specifics of the plot and the ritual that led to this. But with that said... It almost doesn't matter because it still worked for me.
Did we find out who the father was in this movie?
No, but like, yeah, I mean, it worked because the mood was talk about a polar opposite from Alma, where I wasn't scared it didn't grip me at all. This, I was like totally in it. I felt like gloomy. I felt down. I felt scared. I felt nervous. I felt on edge, like everything that a horror movie should do. This one did. It was slow, but like, and there were some things that were almost a little too subtle for my taste, but at the same time, like, it had a good conclusion, it was creepy, and it just worked.
You know what was missing was when the brother took a shower. Uma Thurman! No, the Irish brother never took a shower. Gross.
Whoa. One track mind, everyone.
No, I'm just saying this. I will say, like, the horror aspect was there, yes, but I also thought it was so character driven. Like, I wanted, like, everyone, even to the bullies,
performances.
Yeah, the performances were good, but I mean, like, they were on a journey, like, that I thought was more interesting than the supernatural.
This, you know, Char is played by like Hazel Dupe, and Angela, the mom, is played by Carolyn Bracken, and they, both of these women, their performances were really great. Yeah. And again, I know a lot of people immediately, you think horror movies, like, oh, you're not known for their acting performances, but this it really took a lot.
Acting was going on.
There was a ton of act. The girl really had the whole movie on her shoulders,
and then the
mom had to not only play, you know, a severely depressed woman, but she also had to play a fake, almost like pod person version of herself that had weird mood swings. Like, it just, it was asking a lot of the actors, and they delivered, you know?
Yeah, in that one random scene where she's like, I'm gonna go into this freezing pond.
Oh, yes. There's some weird shit that's happening with all her clothes on. Yeah, yes, I totally forgot about that.
I don't know anything about Ireland, but I'm guessing that
and
water
remember,
was
she
freezing.
Pulls her daughter down underwater.
Like, I was like, is this where she drowns her daughter?
I know. There's a lot of weird stuff in here. But apparently, one thing the director said is that there's a lot of, like, Irish folklore that this is based off of. Like, I can't remember the name of the festival, but Halloween in Ireland, there's, like, a different name for the actual festival. Remember
oh,
she said
it's called Ireland Halloween?
It's called Ireland Halloween. Yeah, definitely, yeah. No, it's, like, Samhain, not Samhain,
right.
But
that's
remember
right.
She, the director introduced this, and now I wish yes. I remembered the name, but so there's a lot of true Irish folklore to this, and like, so I just really admire that kind of stuff. And one thing I will say about both movies is they brought like authentic
relationships.
I mean,
the mothers and the daughters had some good scenes.
No, yes, but what I was saying is they brought authentic culture to both of them, like whether it was like the Korean American experience or the Korean cultures or this Irish folklore. Like it just like they brought something new that we haven't seen as Americans.
Yes, and if you think of it, the American version would be like Linda Blair, and who played the mother in The Exorcist?
Oh my God, I can't remember her name.
How come we don't? She's an Oscar winner.
But what are you comparing on it?
No, I'm just saying, like, that was the American version, maybe like the mother and daughter, you know.
Oh, Ellen Burstyn.
And Linda Blair have that relationship too.
Yeah, there's the thing is, there were, I mean, intense generational relationships in both of these movies, a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. And actually, it's so funny that both of these movies not only came out around the same time, but, you know, totally different, but have it's all about these generations of female family members.
Do you know what this movie teaches me?
That
I'm not going to have daughters.
You're
not. Okay.
You are never going to be a mother. I can tell you that.
Well, you never know.
You're like, how dare you?
How dare you?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could
be a
mom.
Hey, you're not my father.
You are not my father. You are not the father from
Maury
Povich.
You're not the father. His show just ended. It's
fine. Maury Povich?
Yeah, I think he just retired after 30 years.
What if he did like a joint promotional thing with You Are Not My Mother, and he like was bringing in people who thought their parents were something but
didn't
know.
You'd fly them in from Ireland?
Or no, just like people that were adopted, and he said, you are not my mother. And that was like, and they're like playing at theaters near you.
I would say, what a good tie-in.
I think that's a genius idea,
me
right?
Me too. That's marketing,
marketing
gold.
Marketing idea. Okay, let's get Maury Povich. Let's get families who the kids don't know they're adopted, and then you have them say, you are not my mother. Tim, what do you think?
Terrible.
Terrible. Well, I will say that You Are Not My Mother, since it's playing on demand, it's only playing at limited theaters, so find it on demand, and I think it's worth a watch. I mean, again, it's a slow burn.
I totally enjoyed it.
But it is, settle in, turn the lights off, and just get ready for some really, like,
I would actually be genuinely scared watching this movie by myself in the dark.
Oh, yeah. At home alone.
No,
as we keep adding things, at home alone, while wearing red, while eating cheesecake.
Right. And yes. What's an Irish food?
Lucky Charms. No, it isn't, Matt. An Irish food would be like bangers and mash, maybe? Or is that British?
What's bangers?
Bangers are sausages. Banger? I barely know her.
Sausages.
Bangers are sausages. You need to leave this country.
I said I was interested in going to Ireland. And you're like, I've already been there, so now I can't
go. Well, I can't help it that I'm so worldly.
But I've been to Iceland, practically the same.
Hey, they both have Lind in it.
Yeah,
right?
And they both start with I. The
that
end.
Is true. That's true. And they're both cold at times.
Can I say, when we went to Ireland, I kept telling people, oh my God. When we went to Iceland, I kept telling everyone we're going to Ireland.
Oh,
that's how dumb I am.
No, you're not dumb. You're just
challenged.
No, you are not either that. You are just a, you know, very innocent person.
Innocent person?
You're like, innocent? Why don't you
I'm
tell
not...
us? You're not a girl, not yet a woman.
Right.
Exactly. I feel like
but
that's
you know
a good
what?
Ending point.
My conservative ship just ended. So
your conservative ship? Oh, okay, Brittany.
I prefer Brittany.
Brittany. Wow. This is a good time to end. So anyway, that's our little mother issue.
You're not my mother.
You are not my mother, Oma. Yes, and I definitely, I mean, at least there one of these I would recommend.
I'd recommend both if you like popcorn. The end.
Because you can only get popcorn at the
moment. Well, it's like fresh.
You're right. You're right. Okay. Well, anyway, thanks everyone for listening.
Bye. Bye. Uncut Gems. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.